For today, for a few moments, if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 12 in your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'll read probably a passage that's familiar to many of us. Paul the Apostle, writing to the church in Rome, writes these words in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, it's not just for the brothers, okay? I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The reality we live in currently in our Christian journey, our Christian life, is that seemingly it goes against conventional wisdom. We find ourselves as participants and adherents to the kingdom of God. We find ourselves doing things that when the world looks at it, it just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense for a group of people who earn a good wage to take a significant portion of their money to buy plane tickets to go spend 2 weeks in a jungle in a poor community sharing the message of Christ. For many people, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense that you would spend so much of your money. You know, it's one thing to be paid to do that. It'd be one thing to spend your money to go to, say, Tahiti or Jamaica to do mission work, huh? Or Hawaii. That would make sense. But to spend your money and go to the jungle and get lost in the jungle and deal with snakes and going to sleep and having spiders crawl on you, that doesn't make sense. But as participants in the kingdom of God, that's where we find ourselves. When it comes to the world and it comes to the kingdom of God, they kind of clash. The additional reality is that as creatures and products of this world we live in, we often live in accordance to the rhythms and beat of this world. As residents in this world, we find ourselves doing things to try to keep up with the beat of the world. Some people may call it trying to keep up with the Joneses. We buy, expensive things. We buy Kohl's clothes with Kmart money. We do things to try to keep up with the rhythms and the beat of this world. We do so much so that we can find identification in this world. So is the case today, and so was the case back in the early days of Christianity. So much so, Paul encourages the recipients of this Roman letter to, and I quote, no longer follow the pattern of this world, or not to conform to the world. That is to say, do not allow your life to be shaped by the ideals and attitudes and feelings of this world. Last week, we were encouraged to assume a new identity, a new name. That name is disciple. Again, to say we are a disciple is to say that as a disciple of the Master, to be a disciple of Jesus is to empty ourselves of everything that we know to us, our ideals, our attitudes, our feelings, our worldview. We're to empty all of that, to be completely empty, to sit at the feet of Jesus, the Master, and to receive what He teaches us, to take on His worldview, to take on His attitudes, to take on His mind. To say I am a disciple is to say that I will no longer conform to this world. To be a disciple is to follow the rest of Paul's encouragement in Romans chapter 12. And I quote, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, transform literally means to be changed. The Greek word for transform here is the same word used during the transfiguration of Jesus. When it says that Jesus was transfigured, his appearance was transfigured or it was changed. That's the same word used here when we use the word transform. It means to change. And this transformation is not self-activated. In fact, it is a process that God becomes the ultimate operator of. In conforming to the world, you are the one in control of following the patterns, of following the ideas, of following the attitudes, of keeping up with the Joneses and keeping with the rhythm and the beat of this world. You're in control of that. But when it comes to transformation, you're not in control. God is the one that does the transforming. That's why Paul says, do not conform, but be transformed. It is something that God does in you. It is something that God does for you. You're not the activator of the transformation. God is. So instead of saying transform yourselves, he says, be transformed. A transformation is something that you allow to happen in your life. As an intimate follower of Jesus, a disciple, you are allowing a work to be done in you. When you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, you place yourself on the altar to be altered inside and out. Present your bodies, church, as a living sacrifice. Lay yourself on the altar and let God do and begin the altering. On this sacrifice, on this altar, you place yourself in position for God to do whatever he pleases. You place yourself at a place for God to do the ultimate work of transformation. And what are we being transformed into? Wouldn't it be cool to have the power to be able to morph into whatever you wanted to? If I was a superhero, that's the power I'd want. That's the power I want. I'd like the power to be able to just transform into whoever I want, you know? Just walk in here and transform myself into, I don't know, Puff there. You know, I'm just walking and I just go zhroop and whatever, you know, I just turn into Puff there. And then I go to somebody and I'd start talking about Dion. That'd be so cool. Like, man, I can't stand Dion, man. I can't stand him either. And then right at that moment, I'd morph into me. Like, figuratively speaking, I don't like him. It's not real. I didn't watch the movie yet, but I'm a big fan of the Transformers. Back in the day, that was my cartoon when I was a young kid. It's a Transformers cartoon with, you know, Optimus Prime and Megatron, the Autobots and the Decepticons. They had the ability to morph, you know, and, you know, from a car into a robot or an airplane into a robot or, you know, a tape recorder into a robot and back to a tape recorder and those things. I mean, that would be cool to do. But when it comes to transformation, as I speak about it, as I speak to you as a body, of believers, what we have as our goal of transformation in the kingdom of God, the end result of this transformation, after we lay ourselves on the altar to be altered, to be transformed by God, the ultimate goal is to be transformed into Jesus Christ. We recognize Jesus as being one who God was well pleased. Well, if I want God to be well pleased with me, I want to be like Christ. We recognize Jesus as the one who had ultimate and complete communion with God. Isn't that something that we desire? Don't we want to get to a place where we have ultimate and complete communion with God? I mean, we're just so close. We don't have to talk about this idea of trying to get close to God. We understand that, man, we can just have ultimate communion and community with God. But don't we understand Jesus had that? So if that's the case, I want to be like Christ. Christ was united with the Father. He said that throughout John. He kept saying it. My Father and I, Jesus, are one. Don't you want to be one with God? Well, if you do, and I do, then I want to be like Christ. We recognize that Jesus is living in glory in a glorified body. I'm sick of this frail body. I'm sick of this physical body. I've been having problems sleeping for the past 2 months. I've got knee pain and leg pain. And Shannon, you can recognize that. She can't bend over the other day, I heard, and all those things. I don't want this body. We understand Jesus is now living in a state of glory, a glorified body. A body that is also promised to us. The only way that we can receive that glorified body, the body with no more aches and pains, no more taking medicine, is to be like Christ. Remember back in the early 90s when Michael Jordan was just tearing it up? Oh, he was scoring 50 points a game, winning championships, and then there was, I think it was a Gatorade commercial, and they had that song, I want to be like Mike. Remember that? I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. The ultimate goal of transformation, the ultimate goal for a caterpillar is to be transformed into a beautiful butterfly. The ultimate goal for the disciple of Jesus is to be transformed into Jesus Christ Himself. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Paul, writing this letter from prison, says this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Christ, church, is your life. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Because Christ is your life, your sights are set on higher heights, not just trying to fit in with the rhythm and the beat of this world. Your sights, because your life is now in Christ, hidden in Christ, is set on higher things than trying to keep up with the mess that's here on this earth. You set your hearts, your eyes on higher things. Your goal is not to make yourself at home in this world by trying to achieve success at the world's level, but become Christ in your life. Your mission becomes that of one above, namely God Almighty. God sets your mission. God sets your path, not the world. Because Christ is your life, we are passionate about not pursuing issues and acts of immorality. Because Christ is our life, we reject issues of sexual impurity. We reject issues of greed. We reject issues of anger and ill will toward one another. Because, church, we are being transformed into Christ, we passionately pursue the mind of Christ, the life of Christ, the activity of Christ, the ministry of Christ. Continuing on in Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When it comes to showing acts of kindness and compassion, it's not just because it's the right thing to do or it's a good thing to do. It's an outward act of an inward truth. It's an outward act of the result of an inward transformation. If you are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, you will do acts of kindness. If you are being transformed inside, you will do acts of compassion. When it comes to forgiveness, we don't just forgive just so we can get along and just because that's a good thing to do. That's the right thing to do. And it is the right thing to do. And it will help us get past things. But we forgive because we are being transformed into Jesus Christ. One of his marks was the fact that he would forgive. Look at the stories in the gospel. Jesus, as he encounters sinners, he had a spirit of forgiveness. If we are being transformed and changed into Jesus Christ, then we forgive. When it comes to whatever we do in the body, whether it's worship, whether it's ministry, whether it's teaching, whether it's learning, we do all in the name of Jesus because we are being transformed into Christ. Over time, we will be transformed into the complete image of Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And on that day, when Christ appears, on that day when Christ appears, our metamorphosis will be complete. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we will know that when he appears, we shall be just like him. So I ask you to lay yourself on the altar of God to be altered. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. And no longer, church, no longer live in a way that's trying to conform to this world, but be transformed into the very likeness of Jesus Christ. In the message, Eugene Peterson writes Romans 12 this way. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Several weeks ago, I asked the audience, how many people here wants to be changed? Everybody raised their hand. You want to be changed? Take on your new identity as a disciple of Christ. Your first act as a disciple, after emptying yourself of everything that you know, everything that you are, is to lay yourself on the altar. Let God start the awesome, powerful altering in your life. You struggle with anger? Let God do the altering. You struggle with forgiveness? Let God do the altering. You struggle as a husband? Let God do the altering. You struggle as a mother? Let God do the altering. You struggle as an elder? Let God do the altering. You struggle as a preacher? Let God do the altering. Struggle as a friend, let God do the altering. Struggle as an employee, let God do the altering. Struggle as a business owner, let God do the altering. May we, the body of Christ, may we as the body of Christ present our bodies as living sacrifices. May we, over time, be transformed into the exact likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we pray with great anticipation of your transforming power in our lives. Father, we've tried on our own and we failed. We've tried with the help of others and we failed. Father, if we are to experience true transformation, true metamorphosis, Father, we must first present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice. God, we lay our bodies on your altar. And as obedient disciples, God, we will let you do whatever you need to do to alter our mindsets, our attitudes, our actions. Father, I thank you for the transformation that you've done in many of our lives over time. And there are probably great stories of transformation, great stories of how there are people right here, right now, who have great stories of how you have changed them and transformed them over the years. Father, I pray that we'll share those stories. We'll give testimony, we'll talk about it on the phone, we'll talk about it in email, we'll text message these stories. Thank you so much for the wonderful, powerful act of transformation. May we receive it without resistance. Where there is resistance, God, we pray that you would clean it, blow it out. We receive you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to think about something. I would love to hear stories of your own personal transformation. And I think that members of the body would like to hear stories of your transformation. If you have a story about how God has taken you from A to B or from A to G or from, you know, T to U or whatever, if you would, write those stories out and give them to me. And I'm going to talk to Perry about posting some of these stories on our website And I'm probably, with your permission, would love to share some of those stories from up here. But more than that, I would love for you to share it with the body. I would love for you to stand up and say, can I tell you a story about transformation? Sometimes we need to understand transformation by seeing it in someone else. I think that's why Paul's letters are so much, you know, so much autobiography in the letters of Paul. Because Paul is not just saying, you know, preaching transformation. He's showing you transformation. Do you know what I used to be? And look at me now. And look at how I struggle here. But look at how God brought me here. I would love to hear stories of your transformation. If you have any other desires in your heart, if you want to share a prayer request or a prayer triumph, if you would like to become a child of God, a disciple of Christ, you want to study the Bible, you want to put on the Lord in baptism, if you want to do any of those things, I pray that you come as we stand and sing this song of change. I will never be the same again.